Like to turn to the book of John, chapter 5. I want to read verse 39. John chapter 5, read verse 39. Jesus says, Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus is speaking these words to the religious Jews. We know that the chapter records how that Christ had healed the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day. And the fact that he healed on the Sabbath day, of course, immediately riled the Jews. And we read of that in verses 9 through verse 16. And then in verse 17, Christ declared to these Jews the truth that he was one with God in nature. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And we see the Jews' response, Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So they understood what Christ was saying there. They understood that Christ was declaring himself to be equal with God in nature. And then in verses 19 through 21, he declared his equality with God in power. He said in verse 21, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. He's making himself equal with the Father in power. And then in verses 22 through 30, he declares his equality with God in authority. He says in verse 23 that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verse 26, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And then Jesus, beginning with verse 31, makes some reference to some witnesses. And again, all these witnesses are brought forth to, again, declare his equality with God, or that he is God. In verses 31 through 35, he mentions the witness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist bore testimony to Christ. And in verse 36, he speaks of his own works. He says, But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And then we see brings forth the witness of the Father. He says in verse 37, And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. And then in verse 39, he brings forth the final witness, which is the Word of God. He said, Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. In the context, simply meaning that they testify that he is equal with God, that he is God himself. What we want to look at tonight is just the first three words of verse 39, and we've mentioned this topic several times, but in verse 39 we read, Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. He does not say merely read the Scriptures. It's more than that. Certainly we are to read the Scriptures. You can't search them if you do not read them. But a casual reading is not what the Lord is referring to here. He says, search the Scriptures. And the word search means to make a thorough check. In other words, make a thorough check of the Scriptures. Thoroughly check the Scriptures. The word search means to examine and inspect thoroughly. Thoroughly. Examine the Scriptures thoroughly. Inspect them thoroughly. It means to scrutinize. Scrutinize the Scriptures. It means, of course, to seek and to pursue. But the word is in the active voice, so we're doing the acting. It's something that we do. It's something we either do or we don't do. We see it's also in the present tense, which means it is a progressive action. So we are to not only always to be searching Scriptures, but we are to be doing so progressively. That is, we ought to be progressing through our search. We shouldn't go backwards. This is progressive. A progressive searching of the Scriptures. We see also it is a command. So it's something that we must do. It's something that we must do continually. It is something that we must do progressively. So we want to speak tonight on the proper study or proper searching of the Scriptures. First thing we want to consider is some reasons from the text. There's other reasons than what's presented here, but some reasons from the text that one may not search and study the Scriptures. The truth is, if you do not search the Scriptures, if you personally, it's not your habit to search the Scriptures, if that's true of you, there's a reason. There is a reason or reasons that you do not search the Scriptures. And by that, I simply mean that there is a reason within you. I'm not talking about a reason outside yourself. I don't search the Scriptures because my husband won't let me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there is a reason within you. That is, there is a reason that you have control over, something you can change. There is a reason that you can do something about. So if we're not searching the Scriptures, to put it in plain English, it's your own fault. You can't blame it on anyone else. There has to be a reason why you don't. And chances are there's more than one reason why you don't. But in the verses around our text here in verse 39, Christ describes those whom he is speaking to. And in those descriptions, I believe we find some reasons why people do not search the Scriptures. Now, they're not reasons that most people want to hear, but no doubt they are reasons why people do not search the Scriptures. We see here that these individuals did not understand the nature and the use of the Word of God. They didn't understand the Word of God. They didn't understand the importance of the Word of God. Jesus, in verse 38, he said to them, "Ye have not his word abiding in you." Verse 39, he reminded them that that same word testifies of me. So the Scriptures had been given to them to prepare them for Christ, to prepare them for the coming of Christ. The Scriptures testify of Christ. And the Scriptures were given to these Jews to prepare them, but they did not understand the nature of the Scriptures. They did not understand the use of the Scriptures. And because people do not understand the nature of God's Word, because they do not understand the use or the purpose of God's Word, they do not give it a place of honor in their lives. And if the Word of God does not have a place of honor in your life, you will not search it continually and progressively. They did not give it a place of honor. The reason they didn't, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons was because they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it. And if you do not understand the Word of God, the importance of the Word of God, you're not going to give it a place of trust in your life. And if it's not given a place of trust in your life, you're not going to search it. You're not going to study it. You're not going to read it on a continuous basis. It has to have a place of rule. And if the Word of God does not have a place of rule in our life, we're not going to search it constantly and progressively. It needs to have a place of love. That is, it's something that we must love. So the more that people understand the nature, the use, the importance of the Word of God, the more they're going to search it, the more they're going to read it. So that's one reason. Another reason is stated in verse 42. He says, "But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Now, in verse 38, he told them they didn't have the Word of God abiding in them. Verse 42, he says, "You do not have the love of God in you." The two go hand in hand. If we have one of those two in us, the other will be there as well. But one of the reasons that people do not search the Scriptures is very simple. They do not love God. If you do not love God, you're not going to read His Word. You're not going to study His Word on a continuous basis. And I want to say that anybody who has the bad habit of not reading the Word of God, at least one of these is the reason. Probably more than one. But one of the reasons is a lack of love for the Lord. Because, again, you can't separate these two. You cannot separate love of God and love of His Word. If you love God, you're going to love His Word. And to love His Word doesn't mean you let it sit on an end table or on a bookshelf all week and then you just carry it with you like you would a purse or something else to church. It's something that is to be an everyday part of our life. And though these Jews, they profess to have knowledge, they profess to have a zeal for God's law, the truth was they had no true love for the lawgiver. They had some love for the law, but they had no true love for the lawgiver. So again, if there's a lack of love, there's going to be a lack of study, a lack of searching the Word of God. Another reason is we see that these people were completely absorbed in their own personal ambitions. In verse 44, he said, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" These words speak of pride, speak of self-ambition, speak of vainglory. The truth is, these people were more interested in the praise of man than they were anything else. They were more interested in personal adulation than they were in the Lord. In other words, they were seeking the wrong things. And that is one of the reasons that people do not search the Scriptures, is because they're seeking the wrong things. They spend their whole life seeking the wrong things. And seeking the wrong things, they are willing to renounce everything else that gets in the way of whatever it is that they're seeking. And so they are willing to renounce the Word of God. They're willing to put the Word of God to the side all week long and just carry it to church on Sundays for a good show. And the truth is, they've renounced it all week. Why? Because they're interested in other things. And they have more interest in other things. And the reason they have more interest in other things is because they love other things more than they love the Lord. I mean, these are the reasons that people do not search the Scriptures. There's no doubt today in our churches that a large percentage of church members do not search the Scriptures. Because if they did, they'd be living differently. They don't. I mean, it's very obvious that they don't. If they search the Scriptures, they would think differently. Because if you search something every day, I don't care what it is, it's going to have an effect upon the way you think. It's going to have an effect upon the way you look at things. And so if you're searching the Scriptures every day, that's going to, eventually, it's going to absorb your mind. and you're going to begin to think that way. We see another reason is they were thoroughly steeped in skepticism. In verse 46 and verse 47, Jesus said, "For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he, Moses, wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Now, the one thing that these Jews thought they believed was the writings of Moses. They thought they believed that. But Jesus tells them here, you don't believe that. He said, if you believe Moses, like you say you do, you'd believe me. Because Moses wrote of me. What the Lord was telling them here is they didn't believe what they thought they believed. And the truth is they were just filled with unbelief. They were skeptical. The truth is, even though they claimed to believe what Moses wrote, they were skeptical. And as you talk to God's people, or those who profess to be, you find if you listen to them, they have a skepticism about the Word of God. They really do. They claim, well, I believe the Word of God, but listen to them talk. And they really don't. They don't really believe it. Just like Jesus said here of these Jews. And of course, if you don't believe the Word of God, or if you're the slightest bit skeptical about it, you're not going to search it every day. You're not going to read it every day. You're not going to study it every day. So these are some of the reasons. But then there's some prerequisites for searching the Scriptures. If you and I are going to search the Scriptures, there's some things that have to be in order. There's some things that have to be true if we're going to do this on a continuous basis. How many times have people said they've perhaps gotten convicted during a message or whatever, and they say, starting today, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to study it every day. That lasts about a week, and then they're back to their old habits. Nothing changes. Because the root problem has not changed. Just like in anything else, if you're going to fix it, you've got to get to the root problem. You've got to be honest enough with yourself to determine, why is it that I don't? And then you've got to deal with that reason. And until you do that, like anything else, it's just not going to work. Because you haven't dealt with the root problem. We put, again, as we've said many times, we have a tendency to put Band-Aids on things. That's not going to fix anything. So there's some prerequisites. First of all, there has to be a personal and right relationship with the Lord. If you're going to continually study and read the Word of God, you have to have, first of all, a personal relationship with the Lord. A lost person is not going to search the Scriptures like the Lord tells us to. They're not going to do it. And a person who doesn't have a relationship with the Lord, you don't expect them to search the Scriptures daily. And if someone doesn't have a right relationship with the Lord, they're not going to either. Again, Jesus said concerning the Scripture, "They are they which testify of me." I believe the more that an individual knows about Christ, the more they want to search the book that tells about Him. So the more we know about Christ, the more we want to search the Scriptures. The more real that Christ is to us, the more we're going to search the Scriptures. The more engrossed we are with Jesus Christ, the more we're going to search the Scriptures. The more precious Christ is to us, the more we'll search the Scriptures. The more confidence we have in Christ, the more we'll search the Scriptures. The more desire we have to please Him, the more we'll search the Scriptures. So there has to be a personal and right relationship with the Lord if we're going to search the Scriptures on a continual basis. Also, there has to be an positive and absolute persuasion and conviction that this is the Word of God. And I believe that's where many fall short. It's easy to say the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Writing that on a piece of paper, writing that in church bylaws is one thing. Practicing it is something entirely different. And that's true in our personal lives as well. Christ refers to it as Scripture. We read in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, all Scripture is breathed of God. That simply means that the Bible is a revelation from God. There aren't many that truly have a conviction that that is so. That the Bible is a revelation from God. If you really, truly are convicted about that, that this is a revelation from God, you'll search it. You'll read it. You will study it. It is a dictation from God. It is the very writing of the Lord Himself. And again, the more a person is convicted about that, the more they're going to study it. The more I'm convicted that this is the Word of God, the less I'm going to go to man for the answers of my problems. If I really, truly believe this is the Word of God, this is more valuable than anything else. And so we study it. We search it. And again, it's this conviction that this is the Word of God that gives us the humility that we need to study it, and it gives us the reverence that we need to study it. In Isaiah 66 and verse 2, the Lord promises to look to the individual that trembles at His Word. There are very few that tremble at the Word of God. And again, we have to have that if we're going to study it. There has to be the conviction that it's profitable. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us that the Word of God is profitable. And if we really believe that, this is profitable for me. It's profitable for me right now. It's profitable for me in whatever circumstance I'm in right now. If I believe that, I'm going to search it. If you believe something else is more of a benefit, that's what you're going to go after. So again, we have to have this conviction that this is the Word of God. And then there has to be a passion. There has to be a desire to know what it says. To know the Word of God. That ought to be an overruling passion in the life of every child of God, to know more of what God's Word says. You take an individual that wants to know what God's Word says, and you can take it and you can teach them, and they will learn and they will grow. But the reason many do not learn, the reason many do not grow, is because they really don't care whether they know more of the Scriptures or not. It doesn't matter to them one way or the other. So there has to be a passion and a desire to know the Word of God. To know it. We ought to want to know this more than we want to know any other subject. We ought to want to know what it says more than we want to know statistics or history or anything else. And I'm not condemning a knowledge of history or statistics. That's not what I'm saying. But there should be more of a passion and desire to know the Word of God than the passion of knowing anything else. And again, when that passion and desire is there, you'll search the Scriptures. You'll study it. You'll read it. Then I believe also there has to be we have to have a willingness to obey the Scriptures. If you have no intention of obeying the Scriptures, you're not going to search them. You're not going to read them. If submitting to God offends you, you're not going to search the Scriptures. You know, and a lot of people today, they say, well, you know, I have problems submitting to the church, or I have problems. No, that's not your problem. Let's be honest. Your problem is submitting to authority. Your problem is submitting to the authority of God. You get that straight and everything else will fall in place. And it's true with searching the Word of God as well. If we have a predisposition to obey it, that is, we want to obey it, we want to submit to it, we want to commit to it, we won't be afraid to study it. But you take an individual who is not willing to admit the authority of the Scriptures, not willing to submit to the authority of the Scriptures, and not willing to commit to what it says, they are afraid to search it. They're afraid of it. And I'm afraid that many of God's people are afraid of God's Word. They're afraid that it might bring extra responsibility to their life, that it might bring more accountability to their life. They're afraid of it, so they just leave it alone. I'll just leave it alone. But you're going to give an account for that as well. But the Lord says here, search. He doesn't say, survey the Scriptures. He says, search. Now, there is a difference between searching and surveying. And he tells us to search the Scriptures. There are times that perhaps we'll do a series of lessons, a survey of a book. And what that means is we're not going to go into depth. But if that's all you ever do, you're not going to get anywhere. There has to come a time where we're not going to do a survey. We're going to search the Scriptures. And that should be true in our personal life. That should be true in a pastor's ministry. You can't just spend all your time surveying the Scriptures or teaching a survey. You've got to get into it and search. Search the Scriptures. Well, if I do that, they'll get bored and leave. I got news for you. They're bored with your survey also. The people that are going to be bored with the Word of God are bored no matter what you do, because the problem's with them. So none of that matters. So a mere survey will not do. And again, there's places for surveys. But just a mere survey will not do. And anytime, if we're sitting in a Sunday school class or under a teaching of a pastor and he's doing a survey, the survey that he's doing should not content us. The survey that he's going through ought to encourage us to search what he's surveying. There ought to always be that desire to search the Scriptures. That desire needs to always be there. Now, the word used here for search is one that was used in connection with hunting. It would refer to a hunter stalking his game when he discovered the tracks of an animal. He would then, of course, concentrate all his attention on the ground, and he would follow those tracks. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. We're to examine it. We're to trace it through. Trace it through. And that's where many get their false doctrine, is they do not trace it through. They stop too soon. You have to trace it through. And then you have to understand what you are examining, what you are tracing. And the truth is, there's things you're not going to understand unless you do trace it through. And sometimes people will be preaching and they'll make statements, and immediately you know they have not traced that all the way through. They haven't. Because if they had, they wouldn't have made the statement that they did. So we need to trace it through. This implies a degree of difficulty. Searching is difficult work. It's not an easy work. It's a very taxing work. It's a labor. And it requires diligence. It requires diligence. Scriptures, of course, are to be searched with a spirit of prayer. If you want to know what a scripture means, the best thing to do is go to the one who wrote it. You cannot go to a better source. Go to the one who wrote it and ask him, what does it mean? And if you really want to know, he may not just speak to you from heaven and tell you what it means. He may lead you to search. But if you search, you will eventually, even if you do not find out exactly what it means, you will gain some understanding. Some understanding. So we're to always be praying. And you go through Psalm 119 and you see the psalmist is always praying, cause me to understand. So when we approach the Word of God, one of the first things we need to do is realize our complete dependence upon the Spirit of God. This has nothing to do with my IQ. It has nothing to do with your IQ, the understanding of the Scriptures. It has to do with the Spirit of God. Some of the most uneducated men in the world are some of the most informed on the Word of God. You see, don't confuse intelligence with understanding the Scriptures. Because it doesn't take intelligence to understand the Scriptures. It takes the Spirit of God. That's what it takes. And so we have to, because I've had people tell me all my ministry, well, I'm just not smart enough to understand. It has nothing to do with it. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. It is going to the Lord and asking Him to give you the understanding. And when you read something you don't understand, the best thing to do is stop right there and pray. And ask the Lord to show you. But again, before you do that, you're going to really have to want to know. And I do believe if you ask God to show you, if you ask God to show you Himself, He will. He will. May not immediately, but He will. So you need to ask God to help you to understand. You need to ask God to help us to make application to our daily lives. So many times people read the Word of God for others. They read it to straighten someone else out. They read it so they can inform someone else. You don't read the Word of God for someone else. You need to read it for yourself. And you pray that the Lord would give you understanding and help you to apply it to yourself. Apply it to your own daily life. Apply it to your set of circumstances at that time. Just, Lord, apply it to me. Speak to me through the Word of God. So we need to pray that. And then, of course, the very word search implies diligence, implies thoroughness. Search the Scriptures. That means be thorough. Be thorough. Dig deep. There is an absolute need for accuracy when studying the Scriptures. We have to be accurate. And the only way to be accurate is to search, is to dig deep. So accuracy demands searching. But accuracy demands you and I knowing the context of a Scripture. You cannot possibly be accurate if you take it out of context. You cannot be accurate if you're ignorant of the context. So in order to be accurate, and I believe that's what the Lord is saying when He says, rightly divide the word of truth. That He's speaking that to pastors, but that applies to everybody. We're to rightly divide the word of God. And what that means is be accurate. This is serious business. We have to be accurate in what the Word of God says. So in order to be accurate, you have to know what it says. And you have to have traced it through. If you haven't traced it all the way through, there's a good chance you're not going to be accurate because you haven't followed it all the way through. And the way to be accurate is to realize that one doctrine does not contradict another. The Word of God never contradicts itself. So we have to be accurate. Now, in order to be accurate, in order to determine context, we can't rush. Can't get in a hurry. There's no need for you to get in a hurry about reading the Word of God. Well, my goal is to read it through 3 times in a year. Fine, read it through 3 times in a year, but that does not take the place of searching the Scriptures. Because when you search, you can't be in a rush. You are carefully examining. So that is one of the keys, as if we do not get in a rush. What that means is, read slowly. Read the Word of God slower than you would any other book as you're studying it. Now again, we can take time in our personal life for a casual reading of the Word of God, but that doesn't replace. You can take a daily bread or whatever, or a devotional, and you can go through that every morning. You can have a set time. There's nothing wrong with that. But it does not replace searching the Scriptures. Nothing replaces that. Searching the Scriptures is slow work. So you read slowly. You read a few words, and you pause, and you stop, and you think about the words you just read. Maybe just read 3 or 4 words at a time and then stop and think about what you just read. That's part of being accurate. That's part of searching. Perhaps read three or four words, stop, think about it, and then go back and read it again. And you may not get any further in your searching that day. 3 or 4 words. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's what searching is all about. Is word at a time. A word at a time. Phrase at a time. So you read it again. And you notice. You make special effort to notice each word. When I'm reading a book, I do not take special effort to notice each word if I'm just reading a book. But if I'm reading the Word of God, I want to notice each word. So I just read a few words at a time. Then I go back, read those few words again. Not in a hurry. There's no rush. We're searching the Scriptures. And as we search, in order to determine context, we have to always know who is speaking. You have to always know that. You have to always know who is speaking. You have to always know to whom the individual is speaking to. You have to have some idea of the subject matter that they're talking about. That may take you back a few chapters. That may take you back to the beginning of the book. But you have to know the subject matter. It's just like if you're listening to a conversation of two people. If you don't know the subject matter, you're not going to be accurate. You can go and repeat it, but you're not going to be accurate. You have to know the subject matter. Not only that, you have to know the occasion. Why are they talking about this? Because if you don't know that, you're not going to be accurate. And if you don't know that, you're going to take things out of context and you're going to jump to wrong conclusions. People do that all the time when they're listening to conversations because they don't consider the subject. They don't consider the occasion. So how do we determine? How do we determine context? Because again, if we're going to be accurate, you have to know context. So you have to look for certain words. We call them identifying words. There are certain words that we have to train our eyes to look for in the Word of God. And once we train our eyes to do that, these words, as you train your eyes to look for these words will just jump off the page. And these are words that are identifying words. And it's important if we're going to search the Scriptures. And these are not difficult words. These are words that we use every day. The word whom. Whom. W-H-O-M. Not a big word. Not difficult to say. But it is an identifying word. It points back to some person. And every time we see that word, we've got to go back. Who's whom talking about? And we're running out of time. Romans chapter 5. Let's turn there. I've got another hour, 2 hours to go. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. By whom? Well, again, whom should just jump right off the page. And the best thing to do is draw a circle around whom, and then draw another circle around Lord Jesus Christ and draw a line. Whom refers back to Lord Jesus Christ. Whom always takes you back. Always. So these are identifying words that point back to something. The word whom. We see it in Ephesians chapter 1. We see that word quite often in Ephesians chapter 1. Whom? Referring back to Christ in Ephesians 1. The word us. Or the word we. These words, of course, refer back to a particular group of people. Notice in 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, book of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, in verse 3, the latter part of the verse, we see that he hath called us. And then in verse 4, we see the word again, whereby are given unto us. Again, those are, that is an identifying word that points back to a group of people. And it really, it goes back to those who have, it goes back to verse 1, that have obtained like precious faith through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the us. He's talking about the saved. Not talking about lost sinners, he's talking about the saved. And if you make that apply to lost sinners, you're inaccurate. You're not being accurate in your interpretation. The word wherein simply means in which. And of course, looks back. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8. Wherein. That is, in which. So, wherein takes us back to something. Takes us back to verse 7, grace. Wherein he hath abounded. That is, in grace, he hath abounded toward us. Who's the us? Those that he's been talking about here in Ephesians chapter 1. And those who have been chosen. He's chosen us in him. So you see, there's always words that bring us back. And as long as we keep noticing those words, we're not going to stray from the context. Those words keep us in the bounds of the context. The word which is another identifying word. Looks back to a person or a thing. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 14. Which? Well, which should immediately take us back? And it takes us back to verse 13, the Holy Spirit of promise. So we see in verse 14 that it is the Holy Spirit of promise is the earnest, the down payment of our, or the guarantee of our inheritance. We see the word he or him, always referring back to some person. The word it. Very little word, two letters, it. But it refers back to something. And it's not one of those words that you should just read over. It's one of those words that ought to jump off the page and you need to go back to see what it is talking about. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. Well, let's read verse 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which is done away in Christ. That is, the veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Then notice verse 16. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, it takes us back. It takes us back to their heart. When their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So it refers back to the heart. And then in verse 17, now, in the word now means he's going to explain something. The Lord is the Spirit. The Spirit of what? The Spirit that turns the heart. That's in the context. That's what he's talking about. So it is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is liberty from this veil. Because he turns it, the heart, to the Lord. So we have to look for those words. The word also, we have to look for that word because it means in addition to what was said before. So it takes us back to whatever it was that was said before. We need to look for application words. The word for is a application word. It means for this reason or because of or on account of. It's a word that connects a thought. And if you're going to be accurate in searching the Scriptures, you have to be able to connect the thoughts. And those little words, for, connect thoughts. It's, to me, the most important words in the Bible are the little ones. It, for. And those are the very words that you and I, all our life, have been trained to read over and not pay a bit of attention to. And that's by design. The devil's design. Because it's these words that keep us in the context. You're not going to stray too far into error if you stay within context. And it's these words that keep us there. The word therefore and wherefore, of course, are application words. The word but or yet are words that draw a contrast. We need to look for words that mark time. The word then, that's a time-marking word. But it also means at that time, next in order. Isaiah chapter 6 would be a good example of the word then. There's a definite order. And people could stay pretty doctrinally straight on salvation if they would recognize time words. Because if you don't have time in order, when it comes to the doctrine of salvation, you're going to make a mess. You're going to be inaccurate on salvation. If you're inaccurate on salvation, you're a heretic. So this is important. The word then, again, a time-marking word. Look for location words. There. We saw a couple weeks ago, 1 Kings chapter 17, there. Whenever you see the word there, it goes back to something. It goes back to a place. And it would be good to go back. We need to always be looking for change in pronouns. And we've mentioned this so many times. And it's so important when reading the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 through 6 is a perfect example of change of pronouns in those verses. And you need to keep those straight so you know who is being talked about. So you never confuse saved with lost. You never confuse a church with the family of God because you keep these things straight. But most people confuse these things on a continuous basis because they do not pay attention to small words. They just don't pay attention. And then, of course, another good thing is to look for phrases. 3-4-word phrases. And there's a depth of wealth in phrases of the Scripture. And you'll notice a phrase and you'll probably find out that phrase occurs many places. And there's a teaching there. The Lord uses the same phrases over and over. And these are just some of the ways to search the Scriptures. But we need to search. We need to be accurate.
We each need to study the Word of God for ourselves and search it for ourselves and be diligent. Dig. Don't be content with, wow, I see that. I never noticed that before. I like that. I appreciate that. And then forget it. Well, that should make you want to dig deeper. You found something that blesses your heart. Now, I want to dig deeper. I want to go a little further. I want to see how far this goes. And you just, there's no end. That's what's so wonderful about the Word of God. There's no end. You just keep searching and searching and searching. And the more you search, the more the Lord shows you. And the more the Lord shows you, the more you realize, I don't know. And you just keep searching and searching and searching. And it's endless. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's enjoyable. It really is. Once you begin to search and you begin to discover, it's wonderful. And I just wish that all of God's people or members of the Lord's church would search the Scriptures. Because I believe that if everybody searched the Scriptures under the direction of the Spirit of God, you would have great unity. Because the Spirit of God is going to lead everybody the same way. He's not going to lead seven or eight different directions. He's going to show us truths. And we'll be in agreement because we've searched the Scriptures. You look at people who I believe are sincere. I believe they want to please the Lord, and they get up and they preach error. They preach heresy. And it's because they have not searched the Scriptures. They've gotten off on one verse, and they've built a doctrine on one verse. They've built a theology on one verse, and they've neglected the rest of the Bible. That's inaccurate. And we have to have accuracy. And whenever someone preaches or declares the Word of God inaccurately, it ought to just go through us. I mean, it ought to be something we just can't hardly stand, to be inaccurate in the Word of God. So each one of us has to strive to be accurate in our interpretation of Scripture. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in a verse sung.